The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. And hello, America. Good to have you with us today. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. And this is Hour 3, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. The live show blog is up and running over at toddstarnes.com. Lots of information for you to check out there. Well, we have been paying very close attention to what is expected to be a very, very important congressional election, the midterms, coming up in 2022. And this is the opportunity that Republicans have to take back the House of Representatives. But it is going to be a very tough fight. And it's important that the Republican Party puts candidates out there who are truly going to make this country great and who will embrace the winning agenda. And I think that the winning agenda is an America First agenda. Well, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line is a candidate for Congress from the great state of New Mexico. The New Mexico Republican Party nominated State Senator Mark Moores to run. He is a former college football star at the University of New Mexico. And it's my understanding that his mother's side of the family dates back to the early Spanish settlers who lived in present-day New Mexico. So welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a welcome from New Mexico on the mighty banks of the Rio Grande River.
Well, there's a lot of attention being focused on that river and the border from Texas all the way to California. And I'm wondering, what is it that you are going to be able to do that will attract voters to send you to Capitol Hill?
You know, Todd, this is actually a critical race, as you mentioned. You know, we're only 8 votes difference in the House of Representatives right now. And we flip 4 of these, we get rid of Pelosi right off the bat. So I'm a current state senator here in Albuquerque. And what we're really going to do is we're going to talk about a lot of these issues. And you mentioned the border and the crisis that's going on down there. And that definitely resonates across New Mexico because it translates to the high, incredibly high crime rate we have in the state. And what people are fearful of, especially in the Albuquerque Central New Mexico corridor, is this radical defund the police effort that is happening around the country. And I think it's really going to play well as we move forward. And this is a special election. The seat just became a vacant when a Democrat member of Congress vacated it. So this is the election is June 1st. So we're hitting the ground running. We're raising money. I'd ask everyone to go to mooresforcongress.com and help us out. And we are hitting the ground running, and early and absentee ballots started 6 weeks, Todd. So that's why we're hitting the ground running hard, because we have an opportunity to flip a seat right now. And if we do that, we put Pelosi on the hot seat.
You know, a lot of the political pundits out there are playing up the fact that you are Hispanic. We don't play identity politics here on this program. But the reality is you have an opportunity to reach out and pull in a lot of Democrats who might, in fact, be Hispanic voters.
You're absolutely right. Especially in New Mexico, we have a unique history that we're really proud of. We were settled by the Spanish in the 1600s. And so my family actually has settled up here when it was the fringes of the Spanish Empire. So we have a long, proud history here in New Mexico of that ancestral home. And that's something that resonates really well because we're New Mexicans and we really care about that historical heritage that we have here. And we're also conservative. We believe in national resources. We're really fortunate in New Mexico to have oil and gas. So we really need that export exploitation of those resources that the Biden administration has been taking away from us. And that's what really in New Mexico funds our schools and funds our police and funds our roads. So we really have an opportunity to differentiate ourselves because of our history and our faith between what the progressives are putting up. And I think we're really going to be able to resonate with not only all voters, but those folks who are traditional Hispanic voters here in New Mexico because of that long history that we have in what is now the state of New Mexico, but what once was part of the Spanish Empire.
Senator, when we have reports, and just a few moments ago, this story up on FoxNews.com, the Biden administration is spending $86.9 million on hotel rooms for illegal immigrants and their families, housing more than 1,200 illegal immigrants in their hotel rooms. In San Diego right now, they're sending public school teachers to conduct in-school learning for illegal alien children, and yet American children are still doing classes online. What are you hearing from your voters when they see one set of rules for the people coming to this country illegally and another set for all the rest of us?
Hypocrisy. And Todd, actually, my wife and I own a medical laboratory business, so we're small business owners. So we were on the front lines of the COVID pandemic, and we saw firsthand the economic shutdown that were ordered on our small businesses and our hospitals, and including our own business this last year. And the fact that we're not even testing folks coming through and we're releasing the population here in New Mexico who potentially have COVID. We know they have COVID, but even in New Mexico, we're still not open. Our schools are still closed, even after all the vaccines that have happened. Our kids aren't able to play sports, and yet we're potentially releasing people with COVID into our community. That hypocrisy resonates with people and undermines the trust that folks have in not only the federal but state government as we move forward. So we're going to be talking about those issues, and I think I have a unique perspective having been on the front line and putting my own public safety or personal safety at risk during the pandemic. I'd be able to talk about the need for opening up safely and opening up our schools and opening up our small businesses. And that ties into exactly what you're talking about, this waste of government money and potentially releasing folks with this disease into our community.
Well, not only that, Senator, now you have the added problem of so many American citizens, so many Hispanic Americans that are out of work because the government came in, forced companies to shut down, and now they're going to be competing for jobs with people coming across that border illegally.
No question. And what we've seen from my personal experience on the front line of COVID was folks that weren't looking for a handout. They just wanted to get back to work. These are bartenders and nurses and all the restaurant workers and frontline workers. They wanted to get to work, and the government's response is to give them a handout. So we need to be open. We need to be open safely and get our kids back into school. And enough of this huge, massive federal government spending to basically get atonement for the policies that have shut down this economy. So they're trying to buy back voters by giving them a check when all people want to do is get back to work.
Senator, real quick, of course, your district has been leaning left for quite some time now. What is it that's going to compel Democrats to come over to your campaign?
We're going to work hard. It was a Republican seat for 40 years and has been Democrat for the last 10 years. We're going to hit the ground running. We're fundraising. Again, if everyone could go to mooresforcongress.com and make a donation to help us, we're going to flip it. We're going to talk about these issues I just mentioned about opening up safely. We're going to talk about the oil and gas industry being so critical for us in New Mexico and what the Biden administration is doing to us. We're going to talk about these critical issues of public safety and how scary defunding the police is. And that is what's going to win us this race as we move forward. And we're going to flip this seat, and we're going to make Nancy Pelosi that much narrower margin on her speakership.
Love it. All right. That big special election coming up June 1st in New Mexico. State Senator Mark Moores, the Republican congressional candidate. Senator, best of luck to you.
Thank you, and God bless. Appreciate it.
All right. There you have it, folks. And again, when you look at the illegal alien crisis in this country, and I know that Biden's not calling it a crisis, but it's a crisis. This is almost an apocalypse. But when you look at all of this and what's happening, the people that are most impacted, by and large, are Hispanic Americans who are being forced out of jobs by the cheap labor coming across that border. And I remember in the early days of this talk radio program, 4 years old now, but in that first year when illegal immigration was such a hot button topic, I remember getting caller after caller after caller from the state of Texas, Hispanic Americans, enraged at what was happening to their country and to their jobs and to their families. And it's just not right. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Stearns.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. You know, we've been following the developments out of Minneapolis with the murder trial and the death of George Floyd. And witnesses underway right now. Not much new information here, folks. But I can tell you this. I've been watching some of the pundits on CNN, the most profane name in news, and MSDNC. And I'm a little troubled, not surprised, but troubled by the insinuations being made by people like Van Jones and pundits of his ilk. And the insinuation is that unless the police officer, Derek Chauvin, is found guilty, unless that happens, then American cities are going to burn, that people will riot in the streets. It's almost as if they're telling the jurors, you better convict this guy, and if you don't, there's going to be hell to pay. We will burn down your cities. We will march in your neighborhoods. That's what we're going to do. I mean, this is what they're saying out there on the TV. It's unbelievable. But they get away with it because they can. So it doesn't matter if the guy's guilty or not. It really doesn't matter. They've already decided he is guilty. It's just like what happened in Atlanta with the white dude goes out there, shoots up the Asian-American-owned spas. All of a sudden, it's an Asian-American hate crime. Doesn't seem to matter that that is an absolute lie. It doesn't seem to matter that the man was some sort of a sex addict. He was a pervert. That was the truth, but the truth is irrelevant. It was irrelevant. And the truth is going to be irrelevant here as well. Should the police officer have had his knee on the neck of George Floyd for however many minutes, 9.5 minutes? Don Lemon last night on national television sat there staring into the television's monitor for 9.5 minutes, saying absolutely nothing to give people an idea of what that looks like. Clearly, police procedure was not followed. And those individuals, those officers, have to pay a price for that. But the question at hand is, did that cause George Floyd to lose his life? Is that the reason why? Because the knee was on the neck. And as more information has come out about this case, it's very clear that the cause of death is not very clear. That the guy had enough drugs in his system that if he had been found dead inside of his home, or if he had just collapsed onto the sidewalk, the death would have been ruled an overdose. As a matter of fact, the autopsies show that George Floyd had an enlarged heart. At least one of his arteries was blocked 75%. So it's a very real possibility that contributed to his death as well. But this is what the jury is going to have to consider. How did this guy die? Did he die at the hands of the police officer? Or is it possible that he was so high on drugs that his heart stopped and that's what killed him? Again, the truth doesn't matter. And the jury is going to be faced with a very interesting decision. Do they go ahead? Do they go ahead and find the police officer guilty to save American cities? Or do they administer justice in some other way? I don't think a lot of talk show hosts are going to be going down that path, but that's the path they're going down. And, you know, these I guarantee you the jurors, they know what's going on. They know what's at stake. They saw what happened in the aftermath of the George Floyd death. They saw it. Half the city burned down. And now you have these people on TV saying they're going to burn down the rest of it and every other American city if they don't get the verdict they want. Is that justice in America? Because that's the legal system right now, folks. And it's a scary place for all of us to be. I'm telling you, a very scary place. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, the Minnesota Judicial Branch released some documents that showed George Floyd had a potentially fatal level of fentanyl in his system at the time of his death. This is from Dr. Andrew Baker. He conducted the autopsy. He did not watch videos of anything until after his investigation. Floyd had such a high level of fentanyl in his system that if he was found dead in his home, it would be acceptable to call it an overdose. Dr. Baker said he's not saying that that's what killed Floyd, but said it may have played a larger role in Floyd's death than first suspected. Dr. Baker also points out that hypertension in Floyd's heart could cause death quicker because it needed more oxygen, and that certain intoxicants can exacerbate Floyd's previous condition. I'm going to read here from the report. A memorandum from the Hennepin County Attorney's Office also noted that is fatal level of fentanyl under normal circumstances. Concluded the autopsy by Baker revealed no physical evidence to suggest that Mr. Floyd died of asphyxiation. So what does that mean? Very simple. It means that according to his observations and his investigation, that George Floyd did not die of the knee to the neck. His investigation, not mine. All right, let's go to the phones. South Carolina, Keith, the truck driver on the line. Hi, Keith. What's going on?
I'm doing well, Todd. How about you?
Doing well. Thank you, Keith.
And shame on you for driving that Mustang so fast.
I was on a private road, Keith.
I hear you. I did the same thing in Vegas one time with a truck. Got it up to 92 miles an hour. I said, oops, that's fast enough.
Woo! Boy, I bet you were tearing it up. All right, yeah, we got about 30 seconds here. Yeah.
Nobody has done an experiment to see whether actually the position of his knee actually killed him or not. I wish they would do that. If I was on the jury, I would say, let's conduct an experiment to see if this exactly this what happened.
Keith, you know, I guess they could do that. But then again, you would need to know the amount of pressure. And again, the officer violated police procedure. So we know that to be a fact. So the question then goes to, did that violation cause the man's death? And Keith, right now, there is no evidence to suggest that 100% accurately. There's just not. Keith, we got to run for a break here. God bless. Be safe out there on the roads in South Carolina. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Always a pleasure to have Dr. Paul Chample with us. He is pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, one of the largest churches in Los Angeles County in California. Also the author of a number of books, including one coming out this week, and we'll post a link to that on our live show blog, called Understanding the Times. Hey, Dr. Chample, how's it going?
It's going well. Happy pre-Easter week to you, Todd.
I guess this is like your Super Bowl, I guess, as a preacher. I mean, everybody's coming back to church, and of course, Easter Sunday services. Are you guys going to have service in person?
We are having four services in person, and we are super excited. I'm calling it Comeback Sunday. So we're looking forward to seeing a lot of folks come back, and we'll have our choir singing and just some great things happening.
I'm curious, Dr. Chample. So, you know, they say that a lot of times people just go to church on like Christmas and Easter. Do you always try to get those folks to chip in a few extra bucks during the offering? Or
We gave up on that a long time ago. if they feel led, that would be great. We're just happy to have them there, and hopefully the power of the gospel message will do the changing that needs to be done.
What's been the reaction among the flock there at Lancaster? Folks ready to get back to normal?
Yes, it was a tough year. We had a good number of people that had the COVID-19. Then we had another large number of people that, you know, due to the media and some legitimate health issues have held back. But we're seeing a lot of those come back. We did have a good number of folks move out of state last year. Just a combination of the taxes, the government, the overbearing laws, and other things. So it's been a year that God allowed, and we just have to pick up where we are and keep moving forward.
You know, it's interesting you talk about, you know, people moving away and doing other things on Sundays because the churches were closed for so long. Gallup has a new survey out saying for the first time in 80 years, most Americans now do not go to church. Are you surprised by those findings?
Well, I'm not surprised. I saw the article. It is a bit discouraging if you look at it at face value. There's probably four or five reasons, Todd, that this is happening. And, of course, having all of 2020, the liberal governors telling you don't go to church, that doesn't help church attendance. I mean, I hear it's down in China, too. You know what I'm saying? So we've definitely had the result of all of the, onerous activities of government. But even before that, we had families that were struggling and breaking apart. And whereas there was a lot of continuity through the family, that has been one of the challenges. And then I think a third challenge has been the secular humanism in the public schools, just de-emphasizing God's role in our lives. And that has been something that has been affecting young people. When you look at these polls, the majority of your baby boomers are holding stronger in church attendance, but it's the younger people that are identifying as nuns, N-O-N-E, and they're not attending church. And so we definitely need a renewed group of leaders, Christian leaders, pastors who will stand and call people back and do it boldly and lovingly. And that's what we're planning to do this Sunday.
You know, earlier in the show, we had a topic that really sparked a lot of outrage among our listeners in Dallas, Texas, where a Catholic priest called the cops on a pregnant mom during communion because she wasn't masked up, and they yanked her out of the church and threatened to arrest her. But the idea that so many ministers around this country, first of all, Dr. Chample, I told our audience that would not happen in a Baptist church. If nothing else, the Women's Missionary Union would step in and stand in the gap.
I agree.
But beyond that, I don't want to get sidetracked here. But the reality is a lot of ministers around this country, and, Andy Stanley talking about how he was embarrassed by churches who defied the government. I mean, the number of pastors who are willing to basically give up their pulpits to the government was really troubling.
Well, Andy had his own personal rationalization, and you know, I can't speak for all the things that he had in his heart. I will just say that the scriptures are clear that we ought to obey God rather than men. I think most pastors went for a while doing everything they could without having services, doing the online and so forth. And then we began to realize, listen, if people can go to Walmart, if people can carry on their normal day in other places safely, then we can do it in church safely. It was the only reasonable thing for pastors to do. And I'm glad that that we've continued to exercise our First Amendment rights and obey the scriptures simultaneously. And I hope that this Sunday will be a great comeback for many of these churches. I will say one thing about the article as well, Todd. The headline of the article talks about church attendance dropping, and then the article talks about membership falling. I think there could be a case for the fact that membership has fallen, but attendance is not quite as low as the poll would indicate. And that is something that pastors do talk about. We want to see people becoming members, but we're glad for people that will attend on a day like this coming Sunday.
Well said. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend, Dr. Paul Chappell. He's pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church in California. PaulChappell.com is his website. That's Chappell with two P's and two L's. And you have a new book coming out this week, Understanding the Times. Tell us about it.
Well, I'm very excited about this book. It's a book subtitled Living Courageously in Prophetic Days. And this Sunday, I've chosen to speak on the subject of the promise of his coming. And we're going to show in the scriptures how Jesus prophesied his own resurrection. And then after his resurrection, he prophesies that he will come again. And so we're going to take the next several weeks to learn biblically what happens prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. And we're going to focus on the nation of Israel and things happening there, focusing on globalization, focusing on some of the technology that's making all of this possible. And just remembering as that our blessed hope is one day to see the Lord Jesus Christ again.
Amen. I have all of your books, Dr. Chappell. I was when I was stocking my bookshelf, my library, I realized I'll have like a full shelf of Dr. Chappell books.
Well, good. I appreciate that.
But I have to tell you, it's kind of funny. I also, you and Karen Kingsbury, who is a dear friend of mine, she's a fellow believer, and she writes Christian romance books. And one day, she sent me a note. I hope you find the humor in this. If not, you can text me later. She sent me a note. She said one day, just out of the blue, she said, I'm a big fan of your books. And I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't realize you were a conservative. But and then just as a perfunctory Southern thing we do, I said, I'm a big fan of your books. Of course, I hadn't actually read any of her books. So about a week later, a massive I think she's written like 50 books. So a massive box arrives, and so there's a Karen Kingsbury Christian romance shelf in my library, and then a Dr. Chappell shelf. So,
well, I don't know how to comment. Just keep the Bible on top of all of them.
There you go. That's those Amish are doing some mighty interesting things. So that's Dr. Chappell. Always good hearing from you, and let's hope you guys have a blessed Easter Sunday there at Lancaster Baptist Church.
God bless you. You as well. Thanks so much, Todd.
All right. Dr. Paul Chappell. You know, I probably shouldn't have told that story to Dr. Chappell, but, you know, it is what it is. But, Grace, if you ever want one of those novels, I'm happy to let you borrow one or two.
Yeah. I mean, you've probably got a whole library, I assume.
You know, this is interesting. We do a lot of book signings,
yeah.
And some of them are in Christian bookstores. And I noticed in Pennsylvania, especially in Pennsylvania, that the Amish are super huge, like Amish fiction, Amish romance.
Really?
So these bookstores literally, and there's a photograph on my Facebook page, there's a huge sign on the bookstore wall that says Amish romance novels.
No way.
And so I had my picture made just as a joke, and I said my next genre. You know, I was under the sign, so.
If you ever wrote that, that'd be...
I got to tell you, the Amish, there's some freaky stuff going down.
Oh, I'm sure.
Even in the Christian novels.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm in such big trouble, right? You know what? I got to take a break or I'm going to get in big trouble. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, this story out of Detroit, Michigan. The Caucus Club, making national headlines. They recently put out a notice saying guests who smell like marijuana are not welcome. The Caucus Club in Detroit also reminds patrons that hoodies and baseball caps are not allowed. They're known for requiring proper attire, and now they are adding odors. So you're not, can we, you know, if we're going to do this, if we're going to go down this path, and again, I want to read the actual, this is the placard at the Caucus Club. Business casual is the minimum dress code that should be adhered to while dining at the Caucus Club. Please be mindful that strong odors are unacceptable. Thank you. Well, you're very welcome. Now, I have something to say about this, because if you're going to go down the path of odors, and I will say this, marijuana smoke is incredibly toxic. It's just, it's awful. It's almost as pungent as the cigar smoke. And I will say this, I smelled both in the casinos in Vegas over the weekend. Look, and if you want to smoke a cigar, hey, have at it. Knock your side up. You know, however you want to live your life, that is your concern. But I will say this. They need to also, and Grace Baker, I want you to weigh in on this. I think that the body sprays, that Axe body spray, I think that needs to go on the list too.
You know, it's so funny. Back when I was in like middle school and early high school, all the boys, when they, you know, they would wear that Axe spray. And man, you could smell that stuff a mile away. And I played basketball, so all the guys, they'd be all hot and sweaty. And then they'd spray the Axe on themselves. And it was just not pleasant. Mm. It was overpowering.
I smell pretty. Ugh. Oh, it's terrible. Now, back in the day, you had a couple of things. You had the Barbasol, which was the shaving cream.
Yep.
You had Right Guard spray in the brown can and for men. Okay. And then you had the, and I'm wondering how many of our listeners remember this, the vanilla, it's the vanilla covered or colored Old Spice bottle. That's the only cologne that men were allowed to have.
Really?
So the only odors were maybe, I don't know, zest, if you're going to be zestfully clean. And then you had the Right Guard, and then you had the Old Spice, which was in a bottle, and it was a vanilla cover, kind of a tan. It looked like a Band-Aid color.
Slightly. Geez.
I know. It's not racist, though.
See, but I used to use those Bath and Body Works sprays, but they lasted like 5 seconds.
You see, that's what men smelled like back in the day.
Oh. Now they just smell like sweaty.
They smell like women.
Okay. I wasn't going to go
remember
there,
Dracar?
You,
you weren't here for the 80s. So
no, I
in
was
the
not
80s. In the 80s, we had something called Dracar, and it made you wish that men had not showered. It was that awful of a cologne.
Wow.
But guys I knew swore by this, but I knew girls back in high school and college that refused to go out with a guy who wore Dracar, only because it made you vomit. It was pungent.
Oh.
Pungent.
Imagine.
I'm just saying. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868, if you want to talk about, you know, bad cologne. But Scott wants to talk about the Catholics and Dr. Chappell. Hi, Scott. What's going on?
Hey, not much, Todd. Really enjoy your show and appreciate you letting me on. I really want to comment about, I just want to kind of fire out four comments on four different things. First of all, on the little caucus restaurant thingy, there are also, sorry, Grace, but there are ladies that wear extremely strong perfume as well. So anyway, just had to throw that out there and defend us guys. And I do remember the Dracar, and I do remember the Old Spice, that little gray plug cap.
Remember that, Scott?
Yeah. Stuff inside. Sure do. Anyway, but the Catholic thing, the Pope is all in the corner of all of this control stuff, if you'll remember all of that. So some of the Catholic priests, I think, subscribe more strongly to the Pope than do others. So I can see that being an issue. The Band-Aid thing, though, give me a break. Nonetheless, are we going to outlaw white vehicles, white houses, all those other things. Are all dogs going to have to be something besides white? It's crazy what's going on in this world. And then lastly, and most importantly, is the previous pastor you had on and talking about Easter this week. Man, it's the most important thing that ever happened in the world when Jesus Christ rose from the dead after dying on the cross, just like he said he would. But I think we put a lot of pressure on pastors and responsibility only on pastors to reel back in those folks that have stayed out for the last year. God's not only called pastors to do that, but he's called believers to be preachers of the gospel and to hold other believers accountable. So not only pastors, but church members, Christ followers are also responsible to reach out and help bring those people back. But even more strongly than that, we need to cry out to God and ask God to reach out and pull those people back and convict them for not being involved, worshiping together as he has told us we need to do as believers.
Well,
I appreciate your time. God bless you, Todd. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, Scott, those are wise words. And here on this program, we celebrate Christmas and we celebrate Easter. And we understand that the most important of these holidays, these holy days, is Easter Sunday. And Friday is good, as they say, but what happens on Sunday is a heck of a lot better, and it's exciting. And that's why we celebrate a risen Savior, and we are honored and proud to do that here on this radio program. So, Scott, thank you, and God bless you. And we're going to have a great show for you on Friday as we move into this this beautiful moment of reflection on the ultimate sacrifice that was made for all of us, every single person listening to this radio program. You know, Grace, I go back to this Caucus Club thing, and I just want to say one of the things I've noticed about air travel. And again, you're a little younger, but back when I was growing up, people used to get dressed up. If they were going to go on an airplane flight, they would get dressed up.
Yeah, no, not anymore.
If you went out to dinner, even if like for a delicious, I mean, for our family, a big time dinner, like going out was like the Red Lobster.
Oh,
that was big deal.
Those cheddar biscuits.
And you would dress up and, you know, you would wear like a tie.
Wow.
And, I mean, you would get dressed up. So I get it. I mean, I appreciate the guys, whoever owns the Caucus Club, I appreciate these guys. Hey, if you're coming to our restaurant, we want you to get gussied up. You know, to be a slob. Nobody wants to see your butt crack. You know, pull your pants up. Come on, America. All right, folks, we're out of here. Been a lot of fun today. Don't mean to end the show on a butt crack, but sometimes that's how it goes around this place. Hey, ToddStarns.com, the website. Get out there. Be good, America.